Radio.
Welcome to Cradio. I'm joined on the phone by Mr. Paul Hanrahan, the Executive Director of Family Life International, to speak to us a little bit about 40 Days for Life and the Day of the Unborn Child, which is coming up this Sunday, the 17th of March. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Natasha.
You're
welcome. It's good to be here.
Indeed. Now, Paul, a lot of people are aware of the 40 Days for Life campaign, and a lot have been volunteering, I hear, which is good. Could you share a few things that have been happening, maybe some fruits of the campaign and your experiences of this year?
Well, we've had many good experiences. One lady, a mother, was driving past the prayer group on the corner on a Friday afternoon, and she stopped and spoke to them and asked about getting some help. Her daughter, it turns out, is 21, is pregnant, and was at that time 10 weeks pregnant. And the daughter had been in an abusive relationship. The boyfriend apparently is a regular mass-going Catholic, and she was pretty disillusioned. The mother was also a Catholic but hadn't been practicing her faith, and she was very disillusioned about the Catholic Church and all those other things that have been in the news, and this had just added to that. And what, you know, the facts of the boyfriend situation, so it's just what she said. But she was in looking for help for her daughter because they had a lot of financial pressures in 2008, and the father, they both lost their job. They lost everything, she told me, in the financial crisis in 2008. And the father is now estranged from the family and her husband, that is. And anyway, she came past the 40 Days prayer group on the Friday. They asked if she could come back on the next morning when I'd be there to talk to me. So sure enough, on Saturday morning, she turned up. She said, I came to speak with someone. I'm not sure who, though. And she'd approached me, which is amazing. You know, the Holy Spirit leads people in the right direction. We had several counsellors down there on the normal vigil. So we went up the road and had a coffee and had a chat. Subsequently, she's also spoken to one of our advisory panel at FLI, Wanda Skoronska, who's a psychologist and well experienced in helping with these types of issues. And there's some ongoing issues with the daughter, but she said to me, you know, she'd phoned some of the helplines, the phone line counselling services.
And helpline services?
Basically those types of things. And she said, but when you get off the phone, there's nothing there. They can't point you or help you any further than help you get it off your chest. And it's nice to talk about it and talk to someone, but she said there's no practical support that she was being given. So the fact that when she sat down with me and she said she's told her daughter who'd moved back home to her that she would help her, but she said to me she didn't know how she was going to do that because financially she can't help her and she doesn't know what else to do. And I said, well, you stop worrying about those things. We will help you. And we've talked about it and some issues. Daughter wanted to be able to find her own flat. She had been living on her own, but that's probably not the best thing for her. But we're trying to get the daughter to talk to Wanda now and those sorts of things. But the mum told me, she said, for the first time in weeks, you've given me hope. That's directly a fruit of the people being down praying on the sidewalk, on the street.
That public witness, I think that's one of the most beautiful things of public witnesses such as 40 Days for Life, that hope that will be brought to people. People may not say anything. They may not reveal to you how much it touches their hearts, the hope that they receive by seeing the public witness of the prayers out there day in and day out in the rain.
Yep. Well, the fact is, she was just driving past and she came from a fair distance to come back on a Saturday to see me, but she saw people praying. She saw that because we publicly pray, we pray the rosary, we pray other prayers, but people are there with their rosary beads and it's obviously Catholic. You see, people are often critical about keeping religion out of these things, and it's a silly thing because it's the religious inclination, it's the religious belief that motivates people to go there and pray. And without the attack on the unborn, the attack on family, the attack on life, the attack on faith is a satanic attack. Without God, without Jesus Christ, we cannot win. We're not there to force our religious beliefs on other people. We're there to put them on display as a beacon, a light on the hill, and it attracts people. people come to us because they know we'll help. And I could tell you stories for the rest of the afternoon, Natasha, along those sorts of lines. People who have been not going into the clinic, I can tell you a lot of those stories, that people that have turned around. I've held babies in my arms that were destined to die there. But people just passing by who see us and come to us and seek our help. That's a common thing. The other good news is that a young lady who was working at this place, and she'd been placed there through an agency. She was a nurse's aide, a nurse's assistant. She's living here. Her husband has a job, but they need her, a bit more income from her to be able to meet their weekly bills. And she had been placed by an agency in this place, and this girl goes to Mass on Sunday, so does her husband. So when she found out what it was, because she was placed there, she didn't know until she turned up and realised it was an abortion mill. And she was horrified and she was very distressed. But the second day she came there to work, I was there in the street and I was able to talk to her, me and some others. And consequently, she phoned us. I gave her my card and said, you call me, we'll help you. We'll find you work. And so she'd lost my card, and the second week I saw her there, I gave her again a card, and she contacted me. The next week, on the Tuesday, she was meant to be working, but she'd rung and said she can't come, she's sick. But the very next day, she met with myself and Maria, who works here at Family Life International, and we spoke to her and told her we'd help her, and she rang them that afternoon and said she's not coming back. She's just told me, by the way, they've rung her a couple of times to try and talk her into coming back, but she's not going to. And the day we spoke to her in the morning, I had another meeting that afternoon in relation to some other matters with Family Life International, and a man who's a good contact of ours and a good supporter happens to know someone that is very influential in a major hospital here in Sydney. I won't name names. But he gave me that contact and he followed up, and now the young lady who's come out from that clinic and is not working there, and we're paying her until we can find some work, but she's now being given an interview. We've got an email from the director of clinical services, in the hospital, and she's got an interview with them now for a position at this major hospital. So she's over the moon, and hopefully this will eventuate. There's a second girl who's a nurse who's also working there, and she's told me she's not happy, and I've told her this other girl's story, and I'm trying to get her to call us as well and make contact so we can help her come out. But she's not happy being there, and hopefully that will happen, so we ask people to pray for her.
Indeed.
Again, I don't think it's best if I don't name names on the radio. But
no, indeed. Let them keep their privacy, but also that people know that the Spirit is moving. The Spirit of God is doing something.
It's fruitful, Natasha, because they are at Calvary. When we go to these places, we go with our Lord Jesus Christ and we pray, we kneel with the Blessed Virgin, the beloved Apostle John and the others at Calvary. Jesus Christ said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. He also instructed us, if we wish to follow him, pick up our crosses daily and follow him. He took his cross to Calvary, and we need to go to Calvary as well. If we want to save babies, if we want to turn our culture around from a culture of death, if we want to end the attacks on life, love, and family, then we have to be public witnesses. We have to go and we have to pray there. We have to let others know that we're still around, that there is still someone hanging on to the laws of God. That's what it does. The grace comes directly from the fact that people go to Calvary. If we stayed in our churches and if we stayed in our homes and prayed, those things I just said gave to you would not happen. Many other great events as well. It needs, you see, grace affects nature. We are human beings. We're sensitive beings. Those people going in there, working there, attending to this place, need personal contact. They need to hear somebody say, we will help you. That's a critical thing, you see. And they need to see love in action. All those things happen with 40 Days for Life.
And speaking specifically of 40 Days for Life, now I believe it started on the 12th of February with the kickoff rally. And
that's right.
Since that day, the 12th of February, people have been praying on the street outside a particular place in Surry Hills.
Yep.
From 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. every single day?
6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day.
Okay.
Wow. And overnight prayers are said in the church at Surrey Hills, St. Peter's at Surrey Hills. That's from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. So overnight, there are prayers at the church.
Now, for people who want to come, it's not too late if you want to sign up and come.
Absolutely. There's 11 days. Yep, you can still come and pray.
And the most convenient way, I believe, for FLI's point of view, is if people log on to the website and book in for a slot, so that if there's a time when no one's booked in, you can cover that.
Yes.
So people, if you're listening and you're thinking of getting down for 40 Days for Life and you haven't had a chance yet or haven't been able to make the time, here's your opportunity. Go to FLI's website, www.fli.org.au, log in and find yourself a slot. And if
you go to the 40 Days on the front page, go to 40 Days, there's a login page, and it'll take you to the calendar. And if you're not already registered, you just register. And then put your name down for a slot that's convenient for you. That's correct.
Excellent. And some people might be listening and thinking that they might just drop down when they get a chance, but it makes it much easier for FLI, I understand, if people actually log into the website, just so you can organise all the other people that need to stay in vigil at the
We're site. Happy, Natasha, for people who just turn up and pray there. That's good, but it helps us. It's a lot easier for our management point of view and organisational point of view if people's names are on the calendar and we know that they're coming. So, and don't put your name down, by the way, unless you're certain you can get there. So that's another thing.
Great advice.
Now, I'd like to also mention the Day of the Unborn Child, Natasha, which is this Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, on Sunday, the 17th of March, which is about a week early than it would be otherwise, and that's because the Feast of the Annunciation on the 25th of March, it usually falls, and of course that day is in Holy Week, the Monday of Holy Week. So because there are no feast days during Holy Week or Easter Week, which follows, the Feast of the Annunciation has been put back to the 8th of April. And because the 7th of April, the Sunday nearest that, would be Low Sunday and Divine Mercy Sunday, is probably not the best day for us to have the Day of the Unborn Child procession, so we'd be pushing it back to the 14th of April, which is way too late. So that's why we held it on 17th of March. Well, a lot of people will say that's a familiar date. They'll go, yes, that's St. Patrick's Day. So we're having it on St. Patrick's Day, and there is a bit of a clash with St. Patrick's Day parade, but we still have our own procession from the cathedral this coming Sunday, the 17th, after the 10:30 sung mass at the cathedral. So it starts with midday Angelus. Then we assemble out the front, and we process to Martin Place. We can't process on the roads this year because of other road closures involving St. Patrick's Day. So we'll be processing on the footpath and being in Martin Place, at the top of Martin Place, looking across to Parliament House to say the litany and the other prayers that we normally say there and sing the anthem before processing back to the cathedral. So it won't be as long a procession, but we might spend a few more minutes in Martin Place with our prayers, and it will be led by Bishop Julian Porteous. So it's a celebration of the great gift and blessing God gives us in unborn children, and the great blessing that motherhood is, and the great blessing of families. We're looking at, as we draw towards Easter, and especially it's held on a Sunday, we celebrate life, if you like. We celebrate the unborn, and it makes us hold it on the day 9 months before Christmas, in other words, the day Christ was conceived in his mother's womb.
Indeed.
Miraculously, yes.
Indeed. Now, the Day of the Unborn Child, a lot of our listeners, Paul, are probably familiar with it, but for those listeners who have never heard of it before or have heard of it but never been, could you just say briefly what it's all about?
We have, after the Mass at 10:30, the Angelus at midday. We leave the cathedral and we process towards the Parliament House where we have prayers, because though in New South Wales there are laws on our statute book prohibiting abortion, there have been judicial decrees that have given exceptions, and we basically have a situation where the law is flouted and abortion's given on demand almost in New South Wales when it shouldn't be. But we call on we pray there in front of the Parliament because we want God to send grace, and we pray for our politicians that they may get the strength to have laws in New South Wales that are based on God's laws and to uphold those laws. So we pray for our politicians, but we pray that day also. It's on that day, as I said, because it's 9 months before Christmas. It's the day that that the angel came to Mary, the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel saying to Mary, that the shadow of the Most High will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive and bear a child. You shall name him Emmanuel. God is with us. So that's the day God himself, the second person of the Trinity, became incarnate, the day he became an unborn child in the womb of his mother Mary. That is an appropriate day for us to celebrate all unborn children, indeed, his brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Amen. So if someone hasn't been before, they'll be praying in public and walking along with a lot of other people who hold true to the dignity of human life from conception.
It's usually, that's right, 2,500 or 3,000 people. We'd like to improve on that every year. And there'll also be a police escort. There's nothing to fear. It's very prayerful.
Who is welcome to attend? Is it open to
everybody's,
all ages and everybody?
Yeah, all ages, all denominations, all faith or no faith. Everybody's welcome.
What about children? Are families and children welcome to
come? Especially we welcome families. And the majority of the people there are there with families. So there's grandparents and parents and children and grandchildren and people with strollers and of all ages. So it's a great celebration. It's a great example of holy families.
And a beautiful sight to see.
And indeed it is.
I notice in the past, Paul, some people have brought along certain banners from representing their parish.
Absolutely. Welcome. Yes. Okay. If you've got a particular parish banner you would like to bring and a group from your parish, if you've got a particular association or society that you would like to bring your banner, then again, you're welcome. So, yep.
All right. So let's hope it's a beautiful sunny day this Sunday, the 17th of March, 2013, for the Day of the Unborn Child being held in Sydney. Now, just those details again, if you'd like to get a pen ready, anyone who's listening, it begins with the 10:30 a.m. High Mass at St. Mary's Cathedral in Sydney. At 12 noon, the Angelus will be said, followed by the procession, which will be led by Bishop Julian Porteous. Now, at 1:30, it will conclude with benediction at St. Mary's Cathedral, and there's afternoon tea with the Bishop in the Cathedral Hall. Now, if you haven't yet been down to 40 Days for Life, either to drop by and lend some support or to log on and sign up for a few hours of prayer, if you've been meaning to do something for Lent this year but have been really busy with uni and family and work and haven't yet gotten around to it, fear not. Here's your opportunity. Go to FLI's website, www.fli.org.au. And to contact Family Life International, they've got all sorts of wonderful things on their website, and you could also phone them if you need to on 02-9519-9111. Thank you very much for your time, Paul.
Thank you, Natasha. God bless you. It's always a delight to speak to you.
Thank you, and all the best for continuing on till the end of this 40 Days for Life campaign. And just one thing I'll quickly mention is the final hour on Palm Sunday. For those people that are already involved in 40 Days, they'll be aware of it, but there'll be a 7 p.m. candlelit procession from St. Peter's at Surrey Hills. So more information, check the website at FLI if you're interested. But the focus now is on 40 Days and Day of the Unborn Child. You've been listening to Cradio. May God bless you and all your loved ones.
Cradio.org.au